clinical disclaimer. This podcast is focused on education and entertainment. While we love to help and teach, it is not meant to be used as a replacement for clinical services. If you are experiencing significant relationship issues or major concerns in your sexual, physical, or mental health, please seek the services of a professional provider near you.
Welcome to Sex Therapists Shoot the Shit, brought to you by the University of Pleasure. I'm Dr. Tara Jansen, licensed psychologist and certified sex therapist.
And I'm Laura Rademacher, licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist.
Laura, I missed you.
I've missed you so much. And have you told everybody your big updates? I mean, if people listen to the University of Pleasure, they know, but I don't know. Well, I guess we'll get to that.
Surprises coming soon. And we are back. We are back in business.
We are back in a totally different city.
We are. So we had to take a bit of a hiatus for, well, really one big reason, which I've talked about at the University of Pleasure. Some people might listen to it, some people might not. But I moved to New York City very unexpectedly.
It was a little bit of a whirlwind.
It was a whirlwind, and it was really unexpected. And my lovely, lovely friend, Laura Rademacher, was gracious enough to be patient while I totally got my shit together moving to this city.
Of course. I've just missed you. I'm really excited to be here right now. I get to visit.
Yeah, so Laura's with me in person here in New York City, and we had a little day, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a great day. Yeah. I got to see Riverside Park.
We walked around the Columbia campus.
And that was great.
Thought about what it would feel like to be Ivy Leaguers, but not be them.
Yeah, that feeling was uncomfortable to me. It turned out. But it's a beautiful campus.
It is a beautiful campus. Yeah. So, you know, Laura, you've been up to some stuff. Yeah,
I have. I've been busy too. I've been releasing these online classes for people who maybe sex therapy isn't exactly what they need right now, but they do need a little something, or they want to up their sex education. A lot of them are for couples.
Nice.
Or for people who are in partnerships. Couples could watch them together, or people could watch them alone. And because of all that, I've also been on social media, which is something I have avoided forever and ever.
This is, Jeremiah's going to be so happy that we're discussing this, because he and everyone else I know is really on, I'm not going to say on top of me, encouraging me with a heavy hand.
Yes.
To be more involved in social media. And so, yeah, but being like, this is something that we were talking about on our walk, and we thought that this would be a good thing to talk about on this episode.
Yeah.
Is just the idea of like navigating social media and talking about sex, because there's like so much stuff that you're running into.
Oh.
And it's part of the reason that I feel really hesitant often. And so I'm going to let you talk more about it, because you're doing
a nightmare.
You're doing it. And I'm still in an avoidant phase.
You did it. You did a thing.
What is a thing?
You had like one post.
I did one thing.
And I liked it a lot.
And then I said, I'm going to do that thing every week. And then I didn't.
Yeah.
And so that is where that landed. I think that was like 3 months ago. So I have full intention of, you know, picking that back up.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of the remnants of my life that I put back together.
You've been doing a lot. It is okay for that to take some time.
Thanks.
It absolutely is. But I mean, okay, let's truly shoot the shit. I mean, there's the larger topic of social media, which I know for me has always felt really stressful, and I have avoided it in my personal life too. Like I have an ancient Facebook profile that I never check anymore, that's basically just there for like when my aunt needs to send me a message or something, and that's somehow the only way that she can reach me.
Yeah. Can I tell you that I like Googled myself a while back to see if like my website was showing up the way that I wanted it to?
Yep.
And then like the first thing that popped up was MySpace, like my old MySpace.
Are you serious?
And I was like, man, I spent so much money and time on all of this professional stuff, and the first thing that shows up is like an old MySpace picture, ironically, the first time I lived in New York in like my 20s, which
Whoa.
I should not have said on a podcast. Now people will look that
a little bit of a foreshadowing. Well, look, we get to be humans too.
That's true.
And that's, I mean, for me, that's always the back and forth I have with social media. It's like, how much of me do I put out there? How much do I get to be me? How much am I my professional self? What does that even look like? Mm-hmm. It's tough. And I think social media can be kind of exhausting for me.
I know some people get a lot of like pleasure and joy, and I'm not hating on it. I find it really stressful. Also because like to do it like sort of from a professional end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Requires a lot of organization. And yeah. I don't mind sharing my age. I'm 41, right? So mm-hmm. I'm not a like technology, like a native in that way.
No, like, yeah. Media. It and takes so some time to figure out.
I'm not like, I mean, I can like, you know, I can like cut and paste in Word, and I know a few shortcuts on my keyboard, but like, you know, I'm not, so I have obviously technological skills, but like when it comes to social media, I do feel, I don't know if illiterate's the right way. Word. What is the right
There's
word?
A whole culture to it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a talk with somebody, another professional who has a really great TikTok presence, who was kind of talking me through some things. And I said something at one point about like, oh, I kind of like riffed on this idea that you were talking about. Thanks for the inspiration. I hope it didn't feel like I was copying you. And this person was like, well, TikTok is all people copying people. That's all it is. You just do the thing that everybody else does, but you do it slightly your way. And I realized, oh, there are like cultural expectations to each different social media program. Like Instagram feels different mm-hmm. than TikTok, feels different than if you're still using Twitter. Or I'm trying Threads and it's still kind of new and weird. That's like Instagram's version of Twitter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Which I don't love, because then I'm like, okay, well now Meta, the company that owns Instagram, mm-hmm. kind of owns almost all of my social media presence. I don't love that, but Twitter was getting really negative and sad. I didn't feel like it was
called
something that.
Different now, right?
I'm sorry. Now it's X. I forgot.
Sound, like everything coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I sound like the oldest, most uninformed. I'm like, I think they renamed that. This is like such old news. Like everything that I'm saying is such out of date, horribly old news.
Yeah. This is going to be the old person talk about social media episode. That's just the way it is. That's fine.
Well, but I do
there's plenty of people our age that are trying to navigate it and maybe are not, it doesn't come supernaturally.
Yeah. I mean, but I also have some friends my age that like just seem really and you know, I should talk to them. I shouldn't assume like maybe it doesn't feel as natural and they've really put a lot. I mean, I'm assuming some people put a like obviously a lot of work into learning that sort of, I guess, language for lack of a better word, like term. But like, I do want to talk a little bit about what you brought up to me earlier today, which was this piece about trying to also like post sex specific content, because it is sort of like, oh, of course you could just go online and like talk about what you do for a living, you know, and as a therapist, often that's like quite easy if you're talking about general mental health.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's not really barriers to that. But when you're a sex therapist, it actually gets really tricky. I know for a fact that this podcast, because we use shit in the title,
yes,
we have really screwed ourselves from multiple perspectives. But I also feel passionately that I like this title, so I don't want to rename it.
Absolutely. And that's the difficulty. I on Instagram right now, at least, I am sex therapist Laura Rademacher. And I wanted to lead with that partially because if people come across my content, I want them to know that I have training and credentials in this. I think there's a whole lot of people out there that are making content about sexuality and relationships, and they don't necessarily have a whole lot of training or experience. And that's fine, but you should know. You should know when you're getting content from someone who has studied and trained versus when you are getting content from someone who's like, I have a thought about relationships. And that's mm-hmm. great too, you know? But because I led with that, I think I've gotten, I don't know, I'm on their radar somehow.
You're on the list.
I'm on the list. I'm on the naughty list for sure. And I have gotten so many messages already saying what you're putting up might violate our terms of service. Even though they say.
And well, I've watched some of your videos. They're very like clinically focused.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, like you could go to an academic conference. But it's because what? You're using the word sex?
Yes, it's because you know what they don't like is actually anything around the concept of pleasure.
Because, really?
Yes. So number one, They don't always tell you all the rules, and you don't always know why you're getting these messages that you've overstepped something. The rules are pretty unclear, but from what I can gather, the rules are written so essentially you can advertise ED medication without a problem. And to some degree, they're written so that you can advertise like condoms and safer sex things. But even that is a little iffy. And so they say, like, if it's for educational purposes, that's fine. But if it's for pleasure, it's not. Because I think that's how they end up discriminating against sex workers or people putting up sexy, smutty videos or whatever.
Which,
right?
As you say this out loud, I'm like, I'm so happy that our podcast is named the University of Pleasure. That will not cause us any problems whatsoever.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I think you just illustrated such a great difference between the way we think and the way people who are making these social media rules think, because we know the importance of pleasure, and we know that without pleasure, you're not teaching the whole story.
Right. And also, like, the multi-dynamic nature of pleasure and what, like, that's such a, like, broadly defined thing. Like, when, like, if it's sort of this immediate association with, like, pleasure equals, like, hedonism and bad things. You
right.
know what I mean? Like,
right.
there's, like, a negative association with that term versus, like, yeah, to your point, like, we probably come from a direction that is, one, more, like, thoughtful about, like, the benefits, like the mental health benefits, the relational benefits, but also we're probably, I guess, maybe thinking about it more multi sort of dimensionally. I don't know.
Yes, absolutely. And I can put myself in their shoes and go, okay, they probably thought that really focusing on pleasure, let them, you know, not censor organizations that work with sexual abuse survivors, right? Or something, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, the quote-unquote negatives that get to post. I don't mean that kind of organization would be negative, right? But, like, when you're talking about, like, STI information or, like, all the, like, hey, we have to help. We have to provide help because there have been some kind of – there's been a negative experience.
More problem-focused.
And when you think about it, though, sex without pleasure is not generally what we're – aiming for. Like, there's often more problems that come from, oh, we're not talking about pleasure, we're not making sure everybody's having pleasure, we don't know how to get to pleasure. And so it's just this flip side where I think they felt like, oh yeah, this is really cut and dried, we just won't let people talk about pleasure, and that's how we're gonna maybe, I don't know, keep porn out. The other part is that different countries have different levels that they're comfortable with. So some of the things that I have read have been like, well, you know, if China sets a bar somewhere, all the creators in the U.S. are potentially going to get pinged for crossing that boundary, even if culturally it's different everywhere. What would mm-hmm. be considered?
I need you to know that if, like, there was, like, something measuring my blood pressure right now, like, as we're talking about this topic, it would, like, slowly be, because this is something that, like, really is being heavily, and I get it, I do understand why, like, it is one of the primary modes of, like, communication and outreach, and, like, so I'm not saying that it's not incredibly important, but it is, like, these are the kind of things that make me feel like, oh my god, like, why doesn't Tara Jansen post a lot on social media, specifically, like, personally, but also just generally professionally,
mm-hmm.
or sort of, like, it feels, I'm probably overcomplicating it in my mind, but, like, it
yeah.
feels like so many different, like, rule sets to begin to understand.
Yes.
And I think that it just gets sort of overwhelming
yeah.
to think about how to do that thoughtfully, wisely, and also, like, in a way where you're still not, I guess, I don't know if it's the right language, but essentially, like, to not have to censor content to a point where now it's no longer useful to the audience.
Yes. And I have really been struggling with that, because what I've been doing is putting, like, umlauts or accent marks over the vowels in, like, the umlauts over the E in sex, to see if that won't trigger the, you know, that won't get me a flag of, like, oh, this person's talking about sex, right? Or you'll see people go, people use segs a lot, S-E-G-G-S,
oh.
instead of saying sex. So there's all these tricky ways. And my training in sex education says, no, you use real body part words. You make it very clear because people can easily misunderstand, or people come into the field of sex with confusion. They've heard confusing things because nobody's giving clear, accurate information. So it's been really hard balancing, how do I get this information out to more mm-hmm. people? It's valuable. And how do I do it clearly enough that I am not creating more confusion or more shame? Because we should be able to say these words. I shouldn't have to worry about putting the word penis or the word vulva into a post, because these are body part words.
Mm-hmm.
But I've found myself using the eggplant emoji because I think it's going to get by, and looking at it and going, oh, is this what I want to be doing? It's education that goes out to people for free. It's free content. Even if my numbers aren't super high, I can look at that and go like, wow, I reached hundreds of people today that I would not be talking to personally. So in that way, it feels really valuable. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes I do really worry about, am I coding this too much? Do I need to try to do this a different way? Or is social media not the place to be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think it's hard because obviously it is a very key form of communication. And so, yeah, I think I wonder for myself, I'm clearly not a person that is great at concise speech, right?
Yes.
I'm a verbal processor, right? So it takes me a minute. And so I think that that's part of what also makes it feel like a lot of work to me, because like I am somebody that typically speaks pretty plainly and I am thinking it as it's coming out of my mouth. As much as I would love to be one of those people that really thinks about a thing and formulates it in my brain and then I say it and it's really beautiful and profound, that's just not the way that I process information, right? Some people are just verbal processors. And so for someone like me, and I can imagine maybe other people that are similar to me that are more verbal processors, to have to simultaneously really kind of edit down and think about all that stuff, what that means for me is and the times that I've tried to maybe record videos and be let me play around, it's I begin and I'm like, ah, no, that's, don't, okay. And then I'm just suddenly something that's supposed to take 5 minutes is taking an hour because yes. I'm trying to figure out how to censor myself in a way that is still accurate. But I have a migraine by yes. the end because I'm like, oh, this is not well paired to the way that I also just generally communicate information to people.
It's like you're looking at my outtakes of my videos when you say this. I don't know how many times I've edited out of it.
We should start a website that are our outtakes because that's not censored, right?
Right.
We should just start a website that is sex therapists doing their outtakes where they're just using the language in the rawest yes. form. It's here, just look
yes.
at it here.
Yes. Or there's so many times where I'll say to myself on a video, don't go into all that, Laura. Keep it simple. You're talking about too much here. I'm going to blow your mind. How long do you think a TikTok video should be?
I heard that it's supposed to be less than 10 seconds or 30 seconds or
yes.
10.
Yeah, I've heard under 30. So how are you going to do?
This is my problem.
Right.
I have never been known for my brevity.
Right.
Or
me
concision.
Either.
Yes. You are. I think you're more concise than me often, but I have that is the antithesis of what I've been known for.
Well, I've been really happy when I've gotten my TikToks down to about 1 minute. I have to try. And the other thing is, I think you and I both probably do this similarly, where if we have a thought about sexuality, it's connected to lots of other thoughts about
right.
sex and relationships. And so, because that's the way it is when you're working with people and when you're having conversations about people's lives, all of this stuff is connected. When you're making social media, you have to distill one point And even if in your brain it's connected to three other points, you only get the one point. That's it. You just got to stop yourself.
These things like make my brain melt. We were talking about this earlier today, that like when people like push me to like give a black and white answer, or like a specific answer around a question to me that's really and frankly like very multi-dynamic, it's like my brain feels like it's on fire and I can't, and I can't like, and I have almost like a physical resistance is the best way I can describe it, where I'm like, but if I just say A, then I'm leaving out B, C, D, E, F, and G. And like, right. it's necessary that they know also all those things. And then it's like, and I just, and so like that thing, right? Like make, you know, people say, and they're like, just make like a 30-second video. Just like give a little tip. And I'm like, good, cool idea. Yeah. Cool idea. And then I try to do it and I'm like, but I have to. You should have watched me writing my dissertation. It was just I was like, but then I have to, I mean, it was like 100 and like, you know, I think like 10 pages
long. Well, that's the worst because you both have to be concise and to the point in that, but also they want it to be hugely long. And so you've got that, you know, you've got to make it long and put everything in, but you have to do it in this very structured way.
It was a disaster for me. I just like, you know, like I bet you that I've written many papers in my life that are like, just an entire page is just one run-on sentence. And then I'm like, all right, let's edit that up. But this like, how do you feel like you're doing with this, the 30-second video? Like, that's so challenging.
I'll tell you this. I was so skeptical, and I really didn't want to do it. And here are the positives that have come.
Yeah, let's talk positive.
Yeah. My brain is starting to work in a different way.
Excellent.
I can be a little bit more concise now, and I can narrow things down to one point a little bit more often. I do think that style of learning is helpful for some folks, so I'm glad mm-hmm. that I'm able to do that.
I will say, I'm not saying that style of learning isn't useful. I'm saying I'm just right. specifically it's unskilled. It's not what
we're great at.
Like, I am not skilled at it.
Yes.
So, as a teacher, right,
is what I would say. Yes. It's also let me have a little more fun. Because I've let myself become a little goofy. So I had this one video, like you said, a lot of my videos are a lot of like clinical information. I'm really pretty professional. And one day I was like, I haven't been outside at all. I'm going to go outside, do my workout. Look, I'm doing social media. I can do my work outside. And so I went and I sat under this tree to film. And of course, an ant crawled in my bra mm-hmm. halfway through the video. And so I got this kind of hilarious footage of me like laughing and being like, oh my God, there's an ant in my bra. And I was like, do I include this or do I not? And I kind of made this decision of, hey, I get to be a person who gets ants in their bra.
Yeah.
I get to, things happen to me outside just like they happen to all of us.
I stepped on a bee the other day.
Things you stepped on a bee? Were you okay?
This is a sidebar. Okay. This is a sidebar. I have only been stung. So I've been stung by a scorpion, a bee.
You've been stung by a scorpion?
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the break.
I had no idea how badass you are.
We should talk about that. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about that after
the break. All right.
But I have been stung by a scorpion once, a wasp. Well, the scorpion actually was one scorpion. It's got stung me multiple times.
Oh, God.
But I was stung by a wasp and a bee. And both the wasp and the bee, both times, stung me on the tip of a toe, the same toe. Do you know, like, I don't
That's
know how painful it is.
Ridiculous.
I don't know how painful it is to get stung in certain places, but like both times, once with the wasp, I was like walking on a beautiful beach and I had just finished my doctorate program. And I was like, oh, like literally out loud saying, like, I really needed this. This is so beautiful. And as I'm saying it, I step in a like, what is it? Like a nest of sand wasps, which I didn't even know was a real.
I didn't know they could hide.
Yeah.
They can hide in the ground.
Yeah. Except it was like right on like the, the water was coming up and kind of like going, you know, like the tide was coming in and going out. And so like, I'm sure it was hilarious to anybody that was watching because I'm like, this is such a beautiful day. I really needed this. And all of a sudden I'm screaming, why? Why? And I'm like, falling, I'm falling into the water, but I'm fully dressed and I'm like hopping on one toe, like on one foot. And like that hurt because it was sand, like wasps. And then not that long ago here in New York, I was like walking in a park. You know, it's been stressful. I moved and I was like,
yeah,
same deal, beautiful day. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling so good. Like, this is such a gorgeous park. What a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden I go, no! And I look down and a big old bee is stuck in the tip of the same toe that was part of the sand wasp incident years earlier. And also had a, and I was just like,
you have like a
just meltdown
ancestral toe thing that keeps trying to get your attention. I guess.
The scorpion was on my upper thigh though, and I was in a moving vehicle.
What? No.
I was.
How did?
Yeah, I
these
was in.
Things are wild.
I
was in, how are they happening to
I
you?
I was in San Antonio, right? I was in Texas, and I was with my family, and well, my mom and my sister, and their scorpions are common, and I don't know about all of Texas, but I'm assuming more so, but like in San Antonio. And so like all of a sudden, like I am like, I was like, what is, like, something's crawling up my leg, and I start doing this, and then it stings me, and then my mom, who's driving, freaks out and starts batting it away, and so it
oh, no!
It stings me again.
Oh, no.
And then again, and then I'm, because I was like wearing a dress,
oh,
and so
my
like
gosh.
My sister, though, bless her soul, who was a former lifeguard, was on the phone with poison control before I was even done, like, having my, like, panic attack. Like,
wow.
My sister was on the ball, and she's like, is she foaming at the mouth, Mom? Is she foaming
oh, my
at
God.
The mouth? I was
no.
not. And
did,
I didn't.
Did, you well, didn't foam?
No, I didn't
okay.
have an allergic reaction. I mean, I didn't have any kind of like reaction to it other than.
Thank
it,
goodness.
It felt like a burn. Like, and then I had to get on a plane. We were on our way to the airport.
Oh,
but then
no.
the scorpion was just like lost in this vehicle, in this van. And we were all like, where is
it? No.
Anyways, I know that's a total sidebar.
No, but. I have a sidebar to your sidebar.
Okay.
You said you didn't know how badly different parts of the body hurt when you get stung by bees. I can get that information for us, because my husband is obsessed with this guy who did his own scientific trials about which body part hurts the most when stung by bees by letting bees repeatedly sting him, including his penis.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'll send a little text in a little bit. We can figure out how bad big toe is.
It wasn't big toe. It was like my middle toe.
Middle toe?
Yeah.
I hope this guy did middle toe, because I may or may not be
tip.
Able to get that.
Tip of middle toe. The tip of the middle toe. I mean, that's very
right.
specific. I don't know.
Yeah, this,
I don't know.
This
his,
guy
like,
did some
sting,
real specific bee work.
Like
me
sting
you.
Mapping, you know. And how do you even get them to then be like orderly in the fashion that they do it? You know, like.
I don't know if you like have, like, here's what I'm picturing. I'm
you just kind of wiggle it in front of the.
Like, do you remember like the board game Trouble where you had the pop-o-matic bubble?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you'd make a plastic thing for your body part and you'd stick the bee in the plastic bubble and then it would just have to sting you there. That's my
like
best guess.
That's not great for the bee, but that's a separate dialogue.
I don't feel
dialogue.
Like any of this is great
no,
for any
I don't know
of
that,
us.
I don't know that I'm in on it. Maybe it's time. We're getting a little kooky. Is it time for a break?
It's time for a break.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And we are back. So I didn't mean to take us on such a deep dive into all of my injuries via...
I love talking about your injuries.
Oh, I have so many. All of my injuries are just like really just humiliating. Like I don't feel like I don't know. Maybe the idea of a graceful injury is not really one that exists. But like, you know, sometimes I feel like people like
some
are like
some are more embarrassing than
yeah,
others.
Yeah, like
though.
I feel like sometimes people are injured and they're like doing something that seems very appropriate to the injury.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, like if someone's like, I was skiing and I twisted my knee and you're like, okay, you know, like what's that embarrassing about that? But like,
yeah,
I'm just the person that like my injuries tend to just be like, why? Like, why did they? They usually involve like a really heavy dose of humiliation and like public witnessing.
Oh no.
Like with the scorpion, we had to pull over on the side of the road and I'm like running around the car trying to get the scorpion out of my skirt. You know
oh,
what I mean?
My
like,
gosh.
But I think, but it was ended up still in the van. Like anyway, it was like a whole thing. But you know, like stuff like that. I feel like some people can really.
I feel like this isn't a public humiliation, but one weird thing that's been happening to me recently is this summer, I don't know how, I've gotten mosquito bites all over my bikini line, like all the time. And they are mosquito bites. Like for a while I was like, do I have a rash? Do I need to like go get checked? Is this something? But they are mosquito bites. And I don't know how it's happening or why it's happening.
It's like a beacon or something.
Yeah. Part of me is like, oh my gosh, did my hormones change? And now I'm like particularly delicious somehow.
My ankles. That's my really? Ankles. Although I read an article. I don't remember clearly why, but there was a reason that your ankles often get bit.
Did that article mention bikini lines?
It did not.
This is really personal, but I got a mosquito bite right on like my butt crack. And I was like, come on, how is this happening? And
it's not you don't want to itch that. Like,
no,
you know.
That's the thing about it. Like, nobody knows. It's not a public humiliation. But then I'm in all these public situations where I'm like, don't scratch yourself. Don't move. Don't look like you have a weird, itchy bikini line. Like, what's I'm ready for fall. I'm ready for my mosquito problem to be over this year.
Here in New York City, there's not really mosquitoes. That's been a nice...
You don't have mosquitoes? Not I'm upset. Really. I'm like jealous to the point of being upset about that.
You know what? The subway has other adventures. So
plenty of stuff, I guess.
You know, we don't have mosquitoes, but there are a lot of other sort of adventures that New York City brings. So, true. It's like there might be some trade-offs. So there was a different topic. This is sort of a spin-off maybe of a topic that I was thinking about for today. I have been thinking a lot about because of technology, I would think social media is maybe a part of this, but like technology, how hard it is to like get away with keeping secrets.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean like, well, frankly, even fun secrets, but also maybe the like secrets you really don't want someone to see, like an affair or like infidelity or.
Yes.
Because I don't even know. Even within the amount of time, because I'm like going on around like, you know, I think coming up on about 14 years since I've been seeing clients. And I even think back to when I began versus now, like I've always done a lot of work with like infidelity and things like that. How people have been like almost like now it's almost exclusively like technology.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Comparative even to the beginning of my career, I feel like it was less, right? Like there were other or people were not getting caught as easily, you're able to sustain. I don't know what your experience
absolutely.
This is.
I think family plans on things have been a big way that people find out because some of their pictures saved to like the family drive or something else. Some messages come up on like the family device that's not their phone. They think their iMessages are only going to their phone and it shows up on some other device. I've heard
lot. And sometimes, to be fair, like it's also not just like maybe infidelity or things like that, but like maybe a like a sexual interest someone has that they haven't shared with like a partner.
Yes.
That has come up a lot because like to your point, like one, you know, I think the most common one is like somebody's like histories, right? Or just like sometimes people like forget to close the browser but all our devices talk to each other now. So like I have like Mac products and like sometimes in a way that is highly inconvenient, they're like, I don't know why my iPhone insists on turning it into a microphone that interrupts my really good microphone all the time.
What? Really?
Yeah, like, there's all sorts of, somebody listening to this is like, here's why and here's how you turn it off. Please, I want you to DM me on Instagram and tell me how to turn this freaking thing off. But like, so sometimes like it's, you know, they're also connected, right? So I've had folks that like were looking at something maybe on their iPad or their iPhone, and then all of a sudden it's saving somehow in like the history of the browser on another device that someone that is more of a shared device, and they didn't realize it, and it's just
Or you connect to a Bluetooth speaker for something and you forget that you're connected to it, and then you end up watching something sexy or you pull up some porn and all of a sudden it's broadcasting.
I have a very good friend who has a pretty good story about he was on the train and somebody was listening to some pornography and like watching a video, but like clearly thought they had their headphones in and like they felt like they must have felt like they couldn't hear it, and so like kept
turning it up
louder and louder, and it was for like apparently a pretty extended period of time.
Wow.
And then my friend was like sitting like able to like see this person and then watch the moment this person realized.
Oh no.
And you're on a train, right? And so sometimes on a train, and it was like not like a subway but like a train, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes like on you're stuck on that baby for a while, you know, but like,
And I think it, for some reason, I think it was one where you couldn't, for whatever reason, like it was hard to switch cars. And you're just like there.
Even getting up and switching cars, if you could, can you imagine, like, that would be such a walk up that train car to be like, oh, I'm clearly moving to a different car because I was playing you all really loud porn.
Yeah. and my friend said it was like, and also that it was like, you know, not all pornography is the same or created in different ways, but like that it was very verbal, very verbally focused, very, so like for the auditory listener, it was very, you know, because sometimes it's just sounds and moans, but like this was very descriptive verbal pornography.
Wow. Everybody knew what the scenario was that was going on.
Like, you know, that would have been a good day to be like, ooh, let's watch some silent sex videos.
Yes. Okay, so I don't want to be judgy. People should do what they want to do. I will say from a personal standpoint, I don't really understand wanting to watch porn on a subway or on a train. Do you kind of get it?
You know, I have no idea for this particular person.
Sure.
But like, I think maybe for some people, it is just pure boredom and it's entertainment, like something else is entertainment, right?
Sure.
Like reading a book. Like,
right.
Because some people do, I think there is sort of you maybe have interacted with this as well, that there's maybe a misconception that when people are watching porn, they're like always touching themselves or masturbating.
Yeah.
And like, you know, some people are also sometimes just watching it like sort of more in like entertainment interest in the way that you might watch a reality show.
Yes.
Not to say that it's not meeting a sexual need in some kind of way.
Yes.
Or like titillating some sexual interest. So that seems possible. Also, like, I would imagine, and I'm not going to make any assumptions about this person on the train. I do feel for them.
Applause to you. If you are somehow magically listening to this, we all love this story.
I'm sorry.
You've given joy to many people.
You know what?
Sorry if you felt embarrassed, but honestly, it's funny.
I hope you took that story and turned it into, like, that. If it was me, I think that humiliations are the greatest stories to share with friends.
Yes.
So I hope it ended up being a point of joy.
Absolutely.
For you with others when the humiliation faded. But I do imagine maybe for some people, sometimes there could be a smaller sect of folks where maybe they're struggling with some, like, maybe more like compulsivity sort of issues. And maybe for some people, there's some excitement of doing something naughty in a public space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I'm sure there are a litany of other reasons.
Sure. Well, as you were talking, I was thinking, well, it's kind of an interesting idea to, like, explore the idea of arousal when you're not going to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know that old sex concept or sex therapy concept of simmering?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that is an oldie. I haven't
thought
about that one for a while.
Yeah.
Say more about it for the...
So the idea is that you're going to do things that could feel sexy or sexual to you, but not at a time when you could actually be sexual. So whether that is, you know, if you have a partner, like kissing your partner and really deepening that kiss, and then like, I've got to go to work, nothing else
mm-hmm.
can happen. Or whether you're like texting throughout the day, maybe like doing, maybe not even like sexting, but just like, I can't wait to see you. I'm really looking forward to our time. You're kind of getting yourself excited.
We're in New York City, everybody.
That was the look of like, should we pause?
No, we're not going to, because
as
soon as this squeaking of the fire escape is done, I am positive that somebody with a very loud siren on their vehicle is going to come by. So
all
we
right.
might as well just keep it rolling.
It's just the real deal.
But the simmering thing, I'd sort of do, I guess I don't call it simmering, but like I often talk with like individuals and couples often about like putting coins in the piggy bank, right? Like sometimes you can put in a 20 and sometimes you can only put in a penny, but like put in whatever you can.
Oh, that's great.
So like sort of the idea of like, yeah, because you're really just building, you know, you're building an investment that later will pay off. And I think it's kind of a similar concept, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, if you don't have time for the whole, like, whatever you're like a lot of times when you say sex, people have like a, here's the full show, you know, like
yes.
whatever the full show is for you, because that looks different for different people, rather than being in like all or nothing thinking spaces, like sometimes building arousal or simmering, right?
Right.
Like,
I'll talk about, like, yeah, some days you got a nickel, some days you got a $5 bill, right? Like, some days you got a 20, like, put what you can in the bank, but you're probably going to, like, be sustaining more consistent sexual energy in the relationship. I don't know if that feels, like, I feel like those simmering in that, I feel like intersecting.
Yeah. The thing about the simmering metaphor that I think is kind of nice is, like, low heat over time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you're talking about, it's not the high heat. It's the low heat, and you just keep it going over time. I like your piggy bank metaphor, too, especially if people don't want food sex references. Not that simmering has to do with food sex.
Everyone loves a good crock pot to get it. You know, like, who doesn't think of sex and crock pots?
Slow cooker. Just put a whole roast in there, slice up some potatoes, and you're good.
Oh, we're squirrely.
I know. I haven't seen each other
in a while. You should have seen me. So Laura got in last night. Well, not you didn't get into the city, but we saw each other last night.
Right.
You were seeing some family.
I was here with family for a little bit, and then I got to come see you.
But I think I talked 8,000 miles a minute for probably the first 2 hours. I bet you I got more sentences in than most people get in. And I was like, and this.
That just felt fun to me.
Normal.
Yeah.
Just normal.
Yeah. That's how it is when we get together.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It's true. I'm back to this topic of like secret keeping and technology, just before we kind of wrap up here. Like, because a lot of times when people come into therapy, let's say someone has like a pretty big secret from their partner. Maybe it's like an interest that they're feeling ashamed of. Maybe it's some type of infidelity or something that maybe they don't perceive as infidelity. I feel pretty confident their partner might be pretty upset, because sometimes that's also another thing, right? Where someone's like, they sort of morally are fine with it. But I'm like, if this gets found out in a way that you don't want it to be found out, I think you're going to have some conflict.
Well, especially if they haven't had a conversation about that. If they're like, no, I think my partner would be fine. It's like, but I'm not hearing that you've talked about it. I'm not hearing that you two have clear ideas.
And not to suggest that people shouldn't get some privacy, right? Like, so privacy is important. But more things where it's like, there are pretty clear indications that whatever's happening is outside maybe the spoken agreements of the couple enough, or like maybe their sort of mutual expectation set about what their sexual lives are or involve, that you really get a pretty strong sense there's going to be a feeling of betrayal if it's found out in a particular way. Like, I am curious for you, like, I often these days will talk with clients about, like, I really think odds are good that you are not going to get to keep some of these secrets for long, particularly with like overt like infidelity or affairs or things like that, because the world is so plugged in, because, you know, and some people can, I think when people don't get caught around a secret for a while, and different people have to keep different, you know, sometimes the secrets that people keep are very painful, right? And so I'm not suggesting it's always easy, but I feel like sometimes when people are like able to do that without consequence, there's like an overconfidence that starts to get built. And so then people also become a little bit more loose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often end up having a lot of conversations about secrets and technology. And my conversations, I want to be very clear, aren't like, here's how to keep a better secret. they're usually like, I really am concerned about the longevity of this plan because of two things. One, the negative impact on the potential negative impact on your relationship. But also, like, I don't know how long that really in our current world one is able to keep, especially like pretty glaring secrets around, like, if people are using technological devices to do these things.
Yeah.
And they live in a pretty, you know, pretty connected world with a partner. I hope I'm making sense.
No, you absolutely are. And I'm thinking about the difference when you have a conversation with a partner and you say, so I've been doing this thing and I realized I need to check in with you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring something to the table that you know might cause conflict, but you're the one who's bringing it up. Mm-hmm. And maybe it hasn't been that long versus
That's going to be a three or a four compared to a 10.
Right. And sometimes it's you get caught with something for years and years and years, and then that feels hurtful of like, oh, it went on so long. So I feel like, if you're in a position where you're holding a secret, like, really evaluate if it's going to be painful if it comes out either way. Sometimes having it come out earlier and like addressing it head on and being honest about it. And actually, therapists are great people to help with this kind of stuff. Like, if you're hearing this and being like, oh, crap, I've got something that I haven't been sharing and I don't know what to do about it, talk it over with a therapist. You can practice those conversations about how you might tell a partner.
Because also sometimes there are legitimate disclosures that maybe wouldn't help. You know what I mean? Like, there are, right. Like, there
sometimes you might be oversharing or sharing in a way where it's like, this is going to just hurt you and I can't go back in time and change it. And
or it's
dicey. It's hard to figure that stuff out.
Disclosures are always really dicey, but I am like, do you talk to people about technology in ways in which, like, I think you're being overconfident about how long you can keep this secret?
Yes, I do. And to kind of tie it all together, one of the things that has made this more complex is more and more sex workers, porn performers, erotic creators are on social media. So, you know, you might feel like you are not doing anything in your wrong relationship. Wait, sorry, that was confusing. You might not think you're doing anything wrong in your relationship, and you might have followed 10 sex workers on X or wherever on Instagram. And I've had partners get really upset about that when they find out. And the other partner's like, I'm just on Instagram. I'm not doing, quote unquote, anything wrong, right? Like, what's wrong with me being on Instagram? And sometimes people have been more upset about that kind of thing or about OnlyFans or something rather than porn because it feels more personal. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're sending like comments back and forth with this person. You're actually engaging, like interacting with the person. People feel all kinds of different ways about that. Some people are like, no, that person's still doing their job. You're having a professional transaction. I don't care. And some people are like, that feels way different to me than you watching some porn with someone that you're never going to meet and you're never going to talk to.
Well, I also think it's tricky because to sort of that, I mean, I think that those are really important points. And like, you know, if you're on Instagram and your partner's like, oh, look, my partner posted something. And then they look at who liked it.
Yes. Right?
And then they looked at who liked it. And then they're going, well, who's this person? Oh, she's clear, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or he or they are clearly, right? Like,
yes,
this type of person. And then all of a sudden you're having conversations maybe you weren't ready to have about like maybe the things that you find interesting or like whatever. And so I do think also because Instagram, if we use Instagram for an example, to your point, which I think is an excellent point, is a place where really benign to incredibly sexual things can happen.
Yes.
And because of that, like, I think you're sort of, like, I really think that that's such a solid and important point that like that is really sort of a technological and social space in which all sorts of like misunderstandings, conflict can happen. Because if you're watching, let's say someone's just using a specific porn site and it's like lovemesomebutts.com or whatever, right? Like, like I think that that is probably easier to like, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like siphon off in like a particular way.
Yes.
That maybe is not going to be a part of like your day-to-day engagement that your partner's also involved with and is engaging with. And again, I'm not saying like, so get better at,
keep your secrets better.
Yeah. Like I'm saying like, I think it's just more and more that push for like, how can you start having more and more open and honest conversations with your partner in like more of a preventative fashion to be like, I mean, I have people talk about like, here's what, you know, here's what sort of my, like, my Instagram behavior is, like,
right.
Because there's a lot, I don't know, it sounds like you too. Like, there's a lot of conflict about Instagram in particular.
Absolutely. And I will, you've got me thinking about maybe the partner who either finds something that is upsetting to them, or maybe their partner's trying to be proactive and start a conversation and they're really getting upset by the conversation of like, I can't believe you'd even want to follow this person on Instagram or, you know, whatever it is. I think it's so important for partners, if you find yourself getting upset about what your partner is sharing with you, take a deep breath and maybe even pause the conversation and come back to it if you need to, but realize that it is much better for them to be talking to you about this and having this conversation, even if the conversation brings up some conflict. Like, be careful about shutting those kinds of conversations down, because I know a lot of people who try to be honest and try to say something, and then they get shut down because they're like, whoa, my partner had a really intense reaction. I better not ever talk about that again.
Or, like, that's a great point. Or being really passive aggressive about things that make you uncomfortable on your partner's Instagram page and not just directly saying that it makes you uncomfortable.
Just say it. You gotta just have right, the because, conversation.
Like, because if you're really maybe more passive aggressive about, like, oh, who's that person? Like, it seems like you really like their stuff a lot versus saying, like, hey, can I talk to you about, like, kind of how you use this, right? What happens is often, not always, is that that passive aggressiveness cues people into the idea that this isn't going to be a safe topic to talk about. And so then odds are good that they're going to maybe be less forthright,
yes,
less willing to share, because it now has sort of a negative tone around it. And it's sort of really, it actually really does start to create more of a motivation for secrecy.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that all the time. I think that's a great point. And I've also seen people who then interpret that kind of passive communication as, my partner isn't telling me no, they just don't want to see it. Oh, so yeah. I should keep the secret better.
Separately, we should, this should be as we're saying this, I'm like, we should do an actual, like, full episode on this in the University of Pleasure, because this
yeah,
we can't help ourselves. We try to shoot the shit and then we end up being let's just such nerds. Just such sex nerds. I know we have to end here, Laura. It's so good to have you.
It's so good to see you. Hey, we should both tell everybody where they can find us on social media.
Please.
I need to look it up.
Okay. Well, on social media, I think I'm at Dr. Tara Jansen. I think that's me on Instagram. And then also, I did recently move here to New York City. So if anybody is seeking therapy in New York City,
now's your chance
now's
to have
your chance.
The best, the most amazing, most insightful, the person that I always want people to go to when they just need somebody really, really great.
Oh, thank you, Laura. You should be my Tara. I don't know if those things are true, but you're an excellent hype person.
And they are true.
My website is tarajansen.com. So my full name, TERAJANSEN.com.
Look at you go. You're so much better at self-promotion than
it's
I
horrible.
Am.
I feel horrible, really good. horrible, knot in my chest every time I meet you.
This is what we do. This is what we got to do. So on Instagram, I am sex_therapist_Laura_Rademacher. And I believe that that's the same handle on Threads since they're linked. And then for now on TikTok, I'm Laura Rademacher. I'm at Laura Rademacher, but I keep changing my title on that because I can't figure out if I'm getting shadow banned because I had sex therapist in the title. So go to at Laura Rademacher. You'll find me. There's like a billion videos up at this point. My website is laurarademacher.com. That's LauraRademacher.com. And if you're interested in my online classes, you can find them through my website.
Excellent. And so, you should check out Laura's classes. Laura is many things, a wonderful therapist, but also an amazing educator. So I highly, highly recommend. One of the other things you can do is check out the University of Pleasure on Instagram, or check us out at universityofpleasure.com. I think that's it for today. I don't know that I could say more self-promotions. That's
no.
More than enough.
We've promoted everything.
We'll
have to update next time with the B statistics.
Please.
I'm on it. I'm working on it.
We will update. And we will also, I don't know who we'll have as a guest. We wanted to just do you and I, since we hadn't done this for a while.
Time.
Yeah. Just to get us back in the groove.
That's
back in
right.
The groove. Thank you, everybody. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. The University of Pleasure, as well as all of the 19 other things that we do. Laura, it's been great.
I love it. I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.